Log Talk Radio.
I'm your host for tonight, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife, Quadrilyn, on the line. Honey, are you there?
I am. Hello, everyone.
All right. Well, today we're gonna talk about a topic that's going to be near and dear to many, and it's going to come close to home. And it's talking about it's time, and we're talking about being prepared for marriage. The formation of marriage was God's design to display His love and to be an example of unity with the church. Oftentimes, people desire to be married. However, they are unaware of what marriage truly means. How do single people begin to prepare for marriage? Is it ever too early to prepare? Should singles change anything about their lives prior to marriage? And how can people be prepared to have a successful marriage? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight. Today's date is Friday the 13th, 2016. And we're going to go ahead and open up the lines. I have our first caller on the air for tonight, ending in 8225. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
Hey, Keisha.
Excellent. Oh, hey, Quatchman.
Okay, I don't understand what's going on, but...
So I told Quatchman not to call on me because I'm eating dinner right now.
I forgot to tell you.
That's what... See, that's why, right there. But, hey, y'all.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kenny. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us on tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mama on the line, too. Hold on, y'all. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Hey.
I'm good. How are you? Hey, honey. How are you?
Good. Good. Thank
good.
You for joining tonight. Ma'am,
you're welcome. I like you guys' show,
ma'am.
I say I like you guys' show. I find it very interesting.
Well, thank you. Well, we hope to hear some of your wisdom on tonight.
Maybe.
Again.
Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, again, for all in end, definitely. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, the line will be
back
open.
Over to your friend now.
Well, if y'all have any good words of wisdom, please feel free to join in. Just if you have a statement you would like to make, we would love to hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. Our next caller on the air, ending in 6770. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadrilyn. This is Michelle Page. How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How you doing?
We all right.
We're good.
Have you all discussed the topic yet?
No, we haven't gotten into it yet.
Okay, good. I'm at the beginning then. That's great.
Yep. We're almost there. But thank you for calling. And your line will be open.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
All right. So now, you know, we're going to move on into the topic. All right, so call us. How do we prepare, or how do we even think we're ready and prepared to be married is the question. So the lines are open, and we're ready to hear what our callers have to say on tonight.
Hey, well, I'm going to start off, honey.
All right, dear. Well, go ahead, honey.
Okay, we've discussed this before, and I think it's important that we discuss it again.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main issues that we have with marriages breaking up, because we do see such a we see a pattern of divorce.
Right.
We see such a pattern of divorce. And so, you know, of course, this is one of the reasons that we started the show, because we do see a pattern of divorce. So how can we help save our families? Well, one of the ways that we can do that is to discuss what we're discussing tonight, ways that we can try our best to be prepared for marriage. Now, we do know that you can never be completely prepared.
Right.
So let's you know, put that out there. We know that you just can't be completely prepared. However, I do think that a lot of us can be more prepared than we are. Me, myself, I wasn't prepared, you know, when we got married. I grew up in a single-parent home, didn't really have a lot of examples, and so there was just a lot of things that I did not know about being a wife, a godly wife, you know, assuming the role that God has given me. So we're going to go over just a couple of things that we've discussed on the show a couple of times, two or three times. But, you know, sometimes we just have to repeat some things. Sometimes some people need to hear them again. Sometimes we need to hear them again. And sometimes it's new information, you know, if we have new listeners. First of all, we understand that God ordained marriage. Marriage was ordained by God. This is a Christian-based show, so we want to put that out there first. We believe in the Bible. We're not bashing anybody. That is not what we're here to do. However, we do believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, according to the Bible. That is what we believe. So that is how we're going to proceed with this discussion.
All right.
So God, you know, we know that Adam was formed, and then God created and formed Eve to be a suitable helpmeet for him. And I think that's one of the things that we have to learn. And I am going to be talking a lot to the women. Going into a marriage, we have to understand as women that our role is to be a helpmeet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that you do not have desires, you do not have goals, that it does not matter what you want? That is not what that means, because it does matter what we want. We do have desires. We do have goals. We do want to succeed. We are very, very important. And I think one of the things that we have to realize is that the part of being a helpmeet, that position is a very, very important position, because God saw that it wasn't good for a man to be alone, so he made him a helpmeet. That right there goes to show how important we are. In other words, for us to help our husbands to reach their destiny. Now, does that mean we're not going to reach ours? That is not what that means. That's not what that means. But we are an important part of helping our husbands to get there. So ladies, talking to the ladies, single ladies, know that when you're waiting to get married, understand that when you go into the marriage, you're going in as a helpmeet. Although we are equal, at the same time, there we still have a position. The husband is the head, and then we are, you know, under his leadership. We're not less important. That's not what that means. We're not less important, anything like that. But God has placed the husband as the head of the wife and the head of the home. And we are there. We are helpmeets. Okay. The husband is the head of the home. He's the protector. He's the provider. So in other words, ladies, while you're waiting and you're preparing, you do want to make sure when you're looking, writing down what you're looking for in a man, when you're talking to God about what you want, you do not want a man, look, you don't want a lazy man that's not a protector. I have an issue with lazy men, y'all. I'm sorry. That's one of my biggest issues. He's not a provider. That is not what you want. Well, you shouldn't anyway. Some people might want it. Some people might be okay. that is not the way it should be. That is not the design. So when we're in the, you know, when you're in the place of preparing yourself for marriage, don't sell yourself short when you're dating someone. I think sometimes we get to a place where we're lonely, and so we're open to, you know, whoever comes along, because I don't want to be alone anymore. We have to realize that as women, you know, women, you are important enough to have a man that is able to provide for you. you are important enough to have a man that respects you, knows how to treat you, knows how to talk to you. You are important enough to have a man that will date you, a court, as they used to say, because we don't hear about that anymore. But you are important enough to have a man that pursues you. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Does anybody have anything to say? Nobody? Okay, well, I'll keep going.
Sure, honey. Can I bring in this new caller just came on?
Okay.
Okay. Caller ending in 1791. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Crystal from Georgia.
Hey, Chris.
What up? How you doing?
Hi.
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 Glad to have you.
I agree with everything you just said. I'm sorry.
Good. Do you have anything to add?
No, ma'am.
Well, look, the line will be open, ma'am. So if you have anything you want to say, you just jump right on in.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen. Honey, if I may add something, I would love to add something.
Go ahead.
Now, I'm always outnumbered for one. I'm always the only male, and that just makes me feel some kind of way.
Important, baby.
But I want to say something, you know, to the ladies about men. Ladies, you have a man, right, and you pay, and let's just say you all are, you know, pursuing one another because you find interest in one another. Make sure that you're paying attention to those things in a man, those characteristics and attributes in a man that you would really, really love to have in a man. Don't, like my wife said, don't sell yourself short. There are a lot of men out there nowadays, men that have shrines of shoes, Air Jordans. Ladies, if you got a man that's paying spending his money, majority of his money and paycheck on Jordans, that's not the man for you. I'm just going to keep it real.
All right, not paying the bills, but he buying Jordans. You're right, babe. You better pay.
He's standing in line, you know, at midnight 01, trying to buy some Jordans, but he ain't been at work all day. That ain't the type of man you want in your life. Trust me, when you think he out there creeping, he creeping all right. He's still trying to get them J's that just came out. And then, secondly, right, if you meet a man and he already has children, that's fine. That's fine and dandy. But watch how he interacts with the children, right? And then, you know, make sure that he has those characteristics, again, like I said, that you're looking for in a man. Because, you know, a lot of people say when you're out there, sometimes, you know, your biological clock is ticking. I'm getting too old for this. I don't need to be waiting around for no man to come marry me. I'm going to go find my man, my black knight in shining armor. And then you mess around and you get Mr. Wrong, and then you want to then you blame God. Men do the same thing though. We be like, "Lord, you know, I want me a woman, you know what I'm saying, that's loyal and loving." And then they go find a woman in the club that's twerking and expect for her to be his loyal wife. It don't always work like that.
That's true.
It don't always work like that. If you want something worthy and royal enough to be with, then you got to think, you got to have royal kingdom mindset. You got to think just as Christ does. And honey, if I may share something, right? I found a scripture here in Ezekiel 16:8, where the Lord was coming in to talk to Jerusalem, which. Based on this whole chapter 16 of Ezekiel, it was speaking on an unfaithful wife, so Jerusalem being an unfaithful wife. And if I may read it, I would like to read it. 16:6 says that, "But I came by, and I saw you there, helplessly kicking about in your own blood. As you lay there, I said, 'Live,' and I helped you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel. Your breasts became full, your hair grew, though you were still naked. And when I passed by and saw you again, you were old enough to be married. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows. I made a covenant with you, says the sovereign Lord, and you became mine." This is where men and women, this is where men should look at, right? When you're out there, though, and And it might sound kind of like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. Here's what I'm trying to say. We all are not going to be, you know, immediately in that mindset of marriage. And we're all going to be doing our own little thing. Because when my wife met me, I was still out there in the clubs, smoking weed and drinking when she met me. So I was clothing my nakedness, basically. I was exposed to all types of things, all types of sin, all types of evil, all types of things out there, you know. But then when I met my wife, you know, and I didn't see really much things that she had to deal with when it came to, you know, her nakedness being in sin. All right, but you know, her and I started dating, and as we started dating, we got a little more serious with one another. You know, then things start coming out for her, and then things start coming out for me. But notice here in the scripture, he said that as I pass you again, you are old enough to be married, so I wrap my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declare my marriage vows, which means I made a covenant with you. So when we're looking out there and we're praying for God to send us, you know, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, you know, they're not going to always be 100% ready to be married, or they might not even might not be settled yet, as far as in their age and their maturity. But here's what we do: we continue to pray and ask God to, you know, lead us, guide us, and direct us as we're dating one another. And then you have to make a commitment. You make a covenant. And when you're making that covenant and commitment to be with that person, nowadays that's called being engaged. So when you engage, when you become engaged, now I made a commitment that you are going to be mine, I want you to be mine, and I'm going to be yours, and we plan on living happily and happily ever after. Will that be problems? Yes. But does that mean that you don't continue to pursue and moving into marriage? No, that doesn't mean you don't stop. You continue to pursue. So that's just my little tidbit, honey. I just wanted to throw in there, and then, you know, I'm going to chillax a little bit and let somebody else talk.
Well, I'm going to have to just respond to some of the things you said. First of all, I know you said people might not be completely ready for marriage. My idea, my opinion on that is, if you're a certain age, if I'm 30-something years old, I'm not looking for somebody that's not ready. I'm looking for somebody. I'm going to need you to be ready, because by that time, you know, that's just me. I understand, you know, maybe if you're in your early 20s and all this kind of stuff, but you even have some of those that are ready.
I'm on somebody.
Mm-hmm. So I do think that's a, you know, it's a mindset.
It is, dear. You're right.
And, you know, even with the problems with engagement, I agree, you know, depending on the problems, that doesn't mean that, you know, you should stop, because we have to understand there is no perfect relationship. There's no perfect marriage. But if there are some problems, no. We are fussing, we putting our hands on each other, we doing some of this, that kind of stuff when we're engaged, I would not recommend, you know, going on ahead and getting married.
Right.
That's my opinion. You know, little arguments here and there. Yeah, we're going to have that, because you have two individuals trying to come together to be one.
Right.
That's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's a hard thing. So happily ever after. I know we say that, happily ever after. And I think sometimes when we say that, or all of this marital bliss, it sometimes gives people a false perception. This is how I see marriage. I do believe, you know, you have couples like Pastor Paige and her husband, you know, they've been married 20-something years, and so they're at a different stage than some of us that have not been married as long. They, you know, they've gotten to know each other, and they, you know, it's not really a lot. You know, they're in more of a settled stage, and I do think that the longer you're married, you get there.
Right.
But it's a process, and sometimes people go into marriage and they don't realize that to get to that place, it's a process, and baby, it's a no-fly zone. What do I mean by that? It's not, you're not gonna get there quickly. You're gonna get in the car, in the Jeep, whatever. You're going through the desert. You're gonna get through some things to get to some places. And sometimes people don't understand that. They, oh, this is my soulmate. You know, we're happy. We're in love. And then you get into the marriage, and he leaves his shoes all over the place, and she snores, and sometimes she, you know, got her hair on top of her head or whatever, and all it is. And then, well, why are you doing that? You weren't like that when I was dating you. Now you, you know, so different things come along. Kids come into the picture. That causes a whole nother, you know, area of concern and a whole nother arena of arguments and everything. And then sometimes we begin to think, well, you know what, this is just not the one for me. I've been there. I've done that. I've been through that where I thought, you know what, my husband don't marry. I'm the wrong wife for him. But I'm not the wrong wife for him. But that's how I felt. And sometimes we feel like that when we don't have a clear understanding that we do go through things in marriage. This is why Paul, you know, Paul himself, that was saying that he recommends people be single. That was him.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, you know, that trouble comes along with marriage, pretty much is what he's saying, and it does. You know, we're going to go through things, and so I think that's something that's important for, you know, single people to understand, because they'll look at married couples and be like, oh, you know, I want that. I want that they have a husband, you got kids. You know I might have my career, but I want a husband and kids too, and I think that's beautiful. Anybody that wants to get married, I'm pro-marriage. I'm not anti. I think it's a beautiful, something you should experience, you know, and not just experience, but definitely, you know, thrive and succeed in it. However, go in knowing that every day is not a happy day. Every day you're not going to feel in love. Does that mean that you're not in love? That doesn't mean that you're not in love. But every day you're not going to feel in love.
I agree. I mean, hey, I totally agree with you on that one, honey. And you know, when it comes down to the aspect of, you know, now you're married, you have to ask yourself an important question. And college, you know, here's my question, you know, I think that we all should ask ourselves, even the married and the ones that are getting ready to pursue marriage, right? Is my fiance, is he or she my friend, my best friend? And I found a scripture in Songs of Solomon, right, 5:16, and the young lady says, she says, his mouth is altogether sweet. He is so lovely in every way. Such, O women of Israel, is my lover, my friend. So, you know, oftentimes in a healthy marriage, lovers are like really, really, really good friends. Okay, so too often people are driven by marriage by exciting feelings of love and passion before they take time to What I mean by that is they go in with this lustful and, like you said, honey, this misconception of what marriage truly is. Like, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your good and your bad days. But have you really developed a relationship to where you and your mate are like friends? Y'all can talk about anything. Y'all can go anywhere together. Y'all can do anything together. When you get into that aspect of marriage, that's where it involves you listening to one another, being able to share and understand each other's likes and dislikes, you know, and even taking the time to love to the point of where your love is more deeper and now it's more gratifying and satisfying to your soul instead of you coming home or you taking a long route to come home because you don't want to go home and hear nagging or you don't want to go home because you know when you get there, your mate gonna be drinking and drunk or they're gonna be on a video game playing you know whatever or they just not gonna be there because they used to run in the street because they still had that mentality of being single. I mean, it's very important. And, honey, if I may, we have another caller that came on the line. I would like to bring him online if possible.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. We have a new caller just called in. Caller in again, 1-844. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Kenny and Quadron. How are y'all today?
What it do? How you doing?
I'm good. I just came in on the end part. So if I'm understanding correctly, you are talking about building a friendship before you get married?
Well, no, you're going to continue to expound on that even after you're married.
Right.
Yep, even after you're married, because, you know, with marriage preservation, you know, you have to develop a relationship to where, like you know, my wife mentioned Pastor Page and Dick Page, mentioned them how, you know, they've been together for a while and they can finish one another's sentences. And,
yep.
You know, I used to look at him in Germany when we were all in Germany. And he'd be like, "Baby, you ready to eat?" She'd be like, "Yes, baby."
Right, and he knew how to participate. You know, he knows
right.
how to participate. You know, they've developed that, and people, you know, we have to understand when we are waiting, preparing to get married, is that there's some things that are just going to have to be developed.
Yep, you're right.
You know, some
right.
things they're going to have. It's just like a baby. It's just like a baby. You have to nurture that baby. You have to feed that baby. You have to love that baby. You have to teach that baby in order for that baby to grow and to develop. Go through ups and downs. You teach the baby how to walk. They might fall. You know, you get them in school. They might act up like they're, you know what I'm saying? But eventually what happens, that baby turns into this 18-year-old man that's graduated from high school, getting ready to go off to college or the military, and you're sitting there as a parent, and you're proud, and you're like, everything that I've been through has gotten us here.
Yep.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I tell you, I'm telling you, like, when you can get to the point where you can go off on somebody, and then your husband or your wife, your spouse, asks you something in the midst of that, and you can change your tone from rah, 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 "Yes, dear," "Yes, honey." When you can do that, you know you got love.
Yeah,
love right there.
Right.
But I want to go back. Now, Mish,
right,
do you have anything? Because I want to go back and address some things that Kenny had said before. Did you have anything, Mish?
No, I do not.
Okay. I also want to talk about, you know, Kenny, when you were talking about the commitment, and you said, you know, well, that today starts at engagement or the covenant, but really it doesn't. And I think that that's part of the problem that we have in our society today. That's why you can have somebody that, listen, ladies, if a man is dating you for 5 or 6 years and you're begging him to propose to you, and then he proposes to you, and then you have to wait another 10 years to get married, that is not a covenant.
That's right. Come on now. You're right. Hey. You know, and I'm agree with you 100% wholeheartedly on that one.
You know, so you don't want anybody that's going to have you waiting around like that. You're saying, I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to do this thing right. I'm ready to... You know, that's not a covenant. Because if he's truly committed, he's going to go ahead and make you his wife.
Okay.
Fine, babe. He's going to go ahead and he's going to make you his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't take 15 years. It just shouldn't take 15 years.
It shouldn't.
Well,
yeah.
What
you about to say?
You cannot get back.
Pastor, can I interject real quick?
That should go with Pastor. That's my pastor talking right now.
Hey, Pastor Michelle.
Hello. I have two things that I want to say. When we're speaking to the ladies, and I'll say this is for ladies as well as men. When you're out there and you are in the mindset of marriage, one of the things that I have to tell women when they're in the mindset of marriage, don't go around mean mugging everybody. You know, make yourself approachable. Make yourself approachable. And just because you smile doesn't make you a whore or a slut. Just because you smile at someone. Because that shows the warmthness. Because a lot of times, men don't want to approach women because we look intimidating for absolutely no reason. And so, yes, we have a checklist. Women have a checklist. But understand within that checklist, God still knows what's best for you.
Right.
And so, you know, your checklist may be a Morris chestnut. And God may say he wants you to have a Terrence Howard.
That's right.
You know, I don't like light-skinned men. Well, how do you know? You don't like light-skinned men, but you like your husband that God has for you. So be willing
well,
to...
I like light-skinned. Ain't that right, baby?
You better say it.
I love myself light.
You know what I'm saying? But we're so regimented to what our list looks like. And
right.
So we might be passing up Boaz 1, Boaz 2, Boaz 3, Boaz 4. We might be passing up who God has for us, and then you're wondering why you're still single, because the checklist of the physical attributes are just way too whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not realistic.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying that you want to marry somebody broke, busted, and disgusted, but if you're looking for a credit score of 820 and his is 726, be willing to compromise, you know?
That's right, girl. You help him get it, you help him get it to 820. Ain't nothing wrong with that, because, see, he got credit. That's still good. You know, so, that's
726 is not a bad credit score now. And so we have to be willing to say, okay, God, this is what I would say if I was in the world. Now, I take my list, and this is what my natural mind can see. Can you please mix it with your super? Now, I'm going to say this one other thing, and I'm going to go back to listening. Entering into a courtship, and when I say courtship, I always say courtship because your intent is to marry. I agree wholeheartedly with Pastor Quadro. It doesn't take 15 years to get married. Absolutely
right.
Not. And so there, me and my husband, when we teach pre-inter and post-marital counseling, any type of counseling, we always go by the four C's. The four C's being communication, consideration, compromise, and commitment. You have to communicate with one another no matter what. No matter how bad it is, our motto is we really do not go to sleep upset. Now, have we done it? Absolutely. And let me tell you, when I've done it, I've had nightmares that he died, and I'm working with, oh, I'm sorry. You know, God really convicts us on that because we're living a godly marriage. And so you have to communicate. And once you communicate with one another, there is a right way and a wrong way to argue. But once you communicate, we'll get into that later on. Once you communicate with one another, consider what the other one is saying. If all you're worried about is what you're trying to make your point looks like, and they're trying to make their point, you're never going to consider the other person. So if you take time considering his feelings, fellas, if you take time considering her feelings, both of you come out at 100% of feeling like I have done something now. We can move forward. And it is about 100%. On that, you take and you compromise. Compromise some of what you're feeling, compromise some of what he's feeling, and come to an agreement. And it's okay to compromise. Everything doesn't have to be your way. Now, will the men spoil us? Absolutely. These men have us rotten. That's just the truth. We, you know, like I tell my husband, you wear the pants in the family, but baby, I control the zipper. I rotten, just rotten. But after you compromise, commit to it. Make a commitment to the changes that you've said. None of it is going to work until you commit to it, because if you communicate, consider, compromise, and then you don't make a commitment, you're going to be back into another disagreement. And so before you even get married, he's going to say, or she's going to say, I can't do this. This person doesn't have a follow-through method at all. And so that's just something I want to throw out. Check yourself and say, do I have the four C's that it takes to have, you know, a longevity in a marriage? Or, you know, am I willing to share my space? Am I willing to, you know, take the little thing, and, you know, because he does leave his shoes on the floor or he leaves the toilet seat up, am I willing to take what I feel are things that just irritate me and realize that even with that, I can deal with that because I really love him. And then he deals with me throwing my socks on the floor. You know what I mean? So there's a balance. Are you willing to do these things? Because the truth of the matter is once you've been set in your ways and you're establishing your home, sometimes you don't realize that it's you, and I'm talking to man or woman, it doesn't matter, it's you that needs to be changed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, it's something else something else, Pastor Michelle. Well, you know, I also wanted to discuss that, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, well, we have to be willing to compromise because when you are waiting on your mate, it is good to have, you know, boundaries set, but you want them to be realistic.
Right, yes, ma'am.
And I don't want a guy that, you know, leaves his shoes in the floor, leaves the toilet seat up or whatever. You know, okay, that might be something that really bothers you. However, we do have to look at, okay, is it really that serious?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
He's good to me. He's good to the kids. You know, he's a provider. He loves, you know, just not only do I love him, but he loves me. He truly, truly loves me. So is it that serious about him leaving his shoes on the floor? You get to the point where you just pick him up. That's what you do.
Right.
Because some things you just understand, just like they understand that there are some things that are just a part of us and there are some things that are just a part of them. And so we really
That's
have
right.
to look at, you know, the big things compared to the small things. If he's hitting on you, that is not who you want to marry. If he is putting his hands on you before marriage, that is not what you want. But
That's
if he's
right.
leaving his shoes on the floor, you know, just like pick up the shoes sometimes. You know what I'm saying? That's just sometimes what we have to do. We have another caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and open up the line. Caller ended in 4620.
Good evening.
Hey, Faye, how are you?
Ooh, I'm running. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, madam.
I hope everybody's doing good, and I hope everybody that's mothers had a good Mother's Day.
We did, and we hope you did as well.
I did.
Good. Well, your line will be open. Do you have anything to say on the topic we have on tonight?
The topic is on marriage. Am I correct?
Preparing for marriage, yeah.
Yeah, I got to really prepare for it. I've been by myself for a while. You know, with me, I'm praying that I don't be caught up in my ways when that do come my way. I want to be able to work with him. Because, you know, when you've been by yourself for so long, you're so used to doing things your way. And, you know, I ask God to help me to be a better woman and moving some of my little selfish ways out the way because things might not go like I want them. Like, I heard y'all mention the toilet seat or leaving clothes. You know, I really feel like I got three little girls to clean up behind. I don't want a fourth child to clean up behind. I really don't. So, I know I'm going to need some strength. And these three really about to run me crazy with cleaning up behind them. I'm going to need, all I can ask y'all to do is just pray for me.
And you might get one that don't leave the toilet seat up. You know, we just saying, just in case.
Oh, you know how men leave the toilet seat up now.
Mine finally stopped.
Oh, but you're going to train them.
It took a long time.
No comment.
Oh my goodness. So yes, that is definitely, you know, what we are talking about. You know, how can we be as prepared as we can? Because like we said, you know, I said at the beginning, you're not going to be completely prepared. It's just not possible. But I do think that we could be more prepared. So we started off by, you know, talking about the role for the husband and the wife. The husband, you know, he's the protector. He's the head of the home. The wife, you know, she's his helpmate. I'm not in the car. And something else I also wanted to, I want to address, and I want to go back to this because Kenny brought it up, and this is something that I wanted to discuss. Like I said, I'm mainly talking to the ladies tonight. Something else that I wanted to talk about was when you were, Kenny, we were talking about pretty much if you're looking for royalty, carry yourself. I think that really needs to bring home with women. Because we really have to bring that home with young women, because we want women to understand something. Understand that when you're saying, because I see this on Facebook all the time, you know, this is the type of man I'm looking for. I'm looking for this type of man, that type of man. But, and I do believe you dress nice. I'm all about, you know, dressing nice. However, there's still a certain way that the type of, if you're looking for a respectable man, he's going to be looking for a respectable young lady. And so there is a certain way that we are to carry ourselves, a certain way we are to dress. But it is not the right way to get the man is not to go all on Facebook showing all your cleavage and all your stuff. That's not who you, that's not the type of man that you want to attract. But what I see a lot of is, you know, our young women, that's what they think. They think that is the way to attract the man, and then they attract the wrong men, and then they're on Facebook talking about these wrong men that they're attracting. But this, but when you're doing that type of thing, you're not going to attract a respectable man that's looking to take you home to mama. That's not what they're attracted to, not to make a wife.
That's true. And if I may add, you know, repetition is the key to adult behavior and adult success. So you gotta continuously remind, you gotta continuously remind yourself of these type things. And me speaking from a male's perspective, right? If I meet a woman, right? And if, this is just hypothetically speaking. I'm not married, right? I'm just talking to you all right now. So, honey, you know, chillax. But if I meet a woman, right? And you know, she got all these tight clothes on, and she revealing everything, and you know, her cleavage all out and stuff like that. You know, me personally, that's not really the type of, you know, outward appearance I want my mom or my parents or even my grandparents to see. You know, when it comes to me, like, hey, you know, I met her. You know, I'm actually feeling her. She digging me. And then, you know, they're probably gonna be like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. And then, you know, a lot of times kids take this one four-letter word, right? And they take this four-letter word that begins with an L, and they misinterpret it or misconstrue it, and it's called lust. See, I often say L-O-V. Got him.
L-O-V-E.
L-O-V-E. Sorry. But check this out, right? Lust. You'll have young males that's burning with lust, you know, because that's all they see on Facebook, Instagram, wherever. They see women that's, you know, half clothed, and then most guys, they get in their psyche that that's the kind of girl I want, you know, because, you know, she got, like, however many likes or however many follows, and, you know, that's who I'm looking for. You know, I see young men, you know, that I know, that I've gone to school with, you know, they'll be like, hey, would you make her your bae or what? That's the dumbest word, but I don't like it. But I'm thinking that they asking, would you make her your wife or your boo or what? And I'm thinking to myself, like, if this is really what y'all are looking for, in you know, when it comes to characteristics and having self-respect for yourself, then you're selling yourself short.
We have a caller.
All right. Okay. Caller ending in 6543. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Pastor Ken? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey.
How you doing, D?
I'm doing fine. I just got in from work. Probably, I got to catch the end of it.
All right. Well, we so glad you joined us. You know,
yeah,
Mrs. Page, she already graced us with her presence and her comments on tonight. So, you know, hey, bro, I'm looking for you to come in and, you know what I'm saying, help me out because I'm the only man. I was the only man on the show.
I got you. And I want to respond to what your wife was saying and what you were saying, but first what your wife was saying. Yeah, they figure, hey, this is the type of man I want to catch and I want to get and all that stuff, and they doing all this on Facebook. But at the same time, what are you doing to keep that man once you get him? How are you conducting yourself? Because you can look good on the outside, but on the inside you all nasty and tore up and ugly. So
right.
How are you conducting yourself? You can't say, and people say this a lot in life, period, I'm a product of my environment. You cannot use that excuse.
Okay.
You've seen better. You know better. So do better. So what are you going to do to keep that man once you give him, that man or that woman? Are you going to be using those flames and stuff and talking to them? You look like a Rolls Royce, but you sound like a beetle on the inside. You don't want that. So as a woman or a man, what are you going to do to keep that person? How are you going to treat that person? And then for what you was talking about, Pastor Kenny, how they say, this is my boo, this is my thing. It's so much into a title and a name when it comes to a relationship. Because
that's right.
You can be a boo thing, but you need to make that person your king and your queen. Because, again, it goes off on how you treat that person to get that title that you give them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
absolutely.
What are you really looking for? Are you looking for that fly-by-night? Are you looking for that get me right now? Are you looking for that love me to everlasting life, that help me, so to speak, that's going to be there for me and be with me side-by-side and understand me and not afraid to not correct me, but not afraid to guide me when I start doing the things I shouldn't be doing. And it goes both ways, male and female.
Right.
Because it's so much more in a relationship than just, okay, that's my man, that's my woman. It's so much more than that. There's so much more than that. And it's so much more into a marriage than just, I'm your boyfriend, I'm your girlfriend, that type deal. And, oh, it's supposed to work because we love each other.
Well, I'm your boyfriend, I'm your girlfriend, go out the window when you get married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but they still treat him like that. They still treat him like a boyfriend and girlfriend. Hold on, you're married now. So that means there's no running to mom and dad. There's no running to your friends. That is you figuring out with your spouse how things should be and consideration of how the other person is, because you're supposed to make it work. Because nowadays, these marriages nowadays, they're ridiculous. They're like microwaves. And I said it before, it's like a microwave marriage. Because we put it in, and after a couple minutes, bing, it's over with. Because, you know, the first thing that happens, it's over with. But if you look at all these elderly people who've been married 60 years, and you wonder, like, man, that's a miracle. They made it happen. A miracle? They believed in marriages back then. They believed in marriages back then, and they worked on it.
They did.
They sure did.
And yeah, we can blame society a little bit. Society makes it easier for us to say, you know what, I'm getting a divorce. You know what, I ain't got to take this. I'm going back home to mommy and dad. But again, you can't blame it. You can't use that excuse.
That's right.
Can I ask a question?
That's my brother right
please.
There.
Yes, ma'am.
What about when the woman can't cook, don't like to cook, and you dealing with a man that got to have that home cooked meal every day?
And
such as myself, I don't like to cook. I can't cook.
Can I get this one?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be funny, but I got a question too.
Okay.
Do we know how to cook? I said no. I didn't get it.
No. You said no.
My bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know how to cook something, but you know when it comes to trying to make some dressing, cornbread, collard greens, cabbage, and all that hard food, I can't do that.
Okay. So if I can answer this one. when it comes to that, that goes to that whole part of compromising somewhere. Because you said you don't know how to do something, and you said that he likes for this stuff to be done. So you might not know how to do it, but it's too easy to call your grandmother or call your friend and say, hey, how do you make this? How do you make such and such? Because, again, it's a compromise in there somewhere. I want to keep this man. I want to keep this woman, and I love this man. I love this woman, and this is what I want to do for my wife, my husband. So somewhere there's a compromise in there to say, hey, you know what? Let me call my dad right quick. How do you make such and such? Because I want to cook this. Because eventually, you're going to learn how to do some of those things.
Or he might be the one that cooks.
I'm praying that he be the one that cooks.
That might be the case. He might, and you know what might come out
of that? I know y'all might be saying to y'allself, now you got three little girls, how do they eat? I promise you, my sister Lucia, have the oldest one down there, and she said, I'm finna teach this baby how to cook, cause I feel too sorry for my sister, cause my sister did not get in the kitchen. I didn't do all that. And one thing, I didn't have to do, we didn't have to do that, cause my mom always did it. Now, I clean up that house, I have your clothes laid out, I mean, I do everything, but please don't ask me to cook. My sister cooked my Sunday dinner for me every Sunday. And actually, she have taught my oldest granddaughter how to make dressing and all that stuff. But that, I won't lie, that's something I hate cooking. I don't like it. And I think it's more because I don't know how. I'm just that part of my life of cooking is just not in me.
And I agree with Deacon Page said, say it comes down to compromise and also communication. Me personally, I'm not going to say hate, but cooking is really just not my favorite thing. I do it because I have to, because I have a family. But my goal, Faye, my goal is to become rich and hire me a personal chef. Long as they eat. That's my goal.
I know my girls got so tired of chicken being fried, chicken being baked,
I don't like to cook, but I do. My sister, she's the cook. But again, it does go back to compromise and communication because, you know, every relationship is different. Mish, she's on here. Her husband loves to cook. He's the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house because that's what he loves to do. There are some other men that are that way. And so when you are preparing for marriage and you know that that's something that, you know, you really do not like, then it's important, you know, when you all get to that level, when you're talking about getting married, once you start dating, you know, you talk about that. You express how you feel. He expresses how he feels. And then, again, you know, like Deacon Page said, you guys come to a compromise because there are some things that we do have to discuss before, especially if it could, you know, cause a big issue in the marriage.
Some
men, they don't care what their wives cook or not, but I don't care. But then you have some marriages where the wives don't cook, and it really does cause, you know, a major, major issue.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely something that you want to communicate about prior to. And then if he says, well, I at least want you to cook 3 days a week, then, you know, you might not really like it. But, again, it goes back to, you know, compromise and sacrifice, and that's something else that, you know, going into marriage, people have to understand that it's a lot of sacrificing. You know, you do have to sometimes put your needs to the side as your spouse, or, you know, your desires, and your spouse should do the same. You know, both parties at some point should be putting themselves to the side for the other one, because sometimes we have to do that. You know, you have marriages where, you know, like Kenny's allowed me to go ahead and get my master's degree. I didn't work while I was getting my degree, and, you know, now he's going for his bachelor's. So sometimes, you know, it's a playoff. Okay, I'll do this now, and you do this later. Or, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just sometimes we just have to make that sacrifice. So, you know, you can get rescued. He might be all right with the easy stuff. He might not even want collard greens and all that all the time.
Look at him. I'm gonna tell you something. One thing that we have out there that's so awesome right now is YouTube. YouTube teach you how to do anything.
Yep.
Anything. I'm talking about they name every recipe, every ingredient they put in the recipe, how to do it, how long you cook it for, the whole nine. Check out that YouTube. I mean, you might cook some one time, you know. And I remember, you know, when I first really cooked for my wife one time. And, you know, me, I like cooking too, but I'm not the greatest cook. But I cooked some one time for my wife, very first time I cooked. And she was like, this is good. That right, that just brought joy to my heart. I said, you know what, I'm going to cook something else for again to see if she like it.
Yeah.
And then I continued to do it, and then, you know, I continued to experiment. And then I used to be horrible on the grill. You know, but now my kids and my wife, they be wanting seconds and thirds sometimes. So that brings me joy. So, I mean,
it's just,
you know, like I said, compromise.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's right. Maybe you cook that first dish and you see how excited he be. You be like, oh, I'm gonna find something else. You know, it might just spark something in you. So you just, you know, but while you're preparing, just be open to the compromise or, you know, while you're preparing for marriage.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome.
But I do want y'all to know I was going to let him know ahead of time that I did not like cooking.
You should.
Oh, you should. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah,
that's good.
You should. That's something else that's important when you, you know, for us to talk about when we are prepared. Even though I might not like it, baby, but I'll, you know, I'm willing to do it. Because we should let them know how we feel. I'm willing to do it because I want to make you happy, but that's just not my favorite thing. My husband knows that I don't care for cooking. He knows that. No, that's no secret. Everybody that knows me real well knows that. So
same here.
Yeah, it's wrong with telling them that.
Okay.
Does anybody else? Go ahead.
It's Mommy Lane. So my question is, how
do you
prepare yourself to submit to your husband after you've been the head of your household for decades?
Ooh, now that's
oh, Lord.
That is a good one.
That's a good, yes.
That is a good one. And that is something that happens often. And I'm just going to talk about what we see in the black community. You have it in the white community too, but I'm just going to address the black community for a minute. We have a lot of single mothers and strong single mothers. And then strong single mothers raise strong daughters.
Yep.
Strong-willed daughters. And so then the daughters get into the marriage and we have the wrong perception of submission, and I'm not about to submit to no man. I can take care of myself. I used to tell my husband that all the time. I don't need you. I can take care of myself. When I said the Lord humbled my behind, he take care of me today. He humbled me real good. it was a good humbling though. It was good. It was good.
that's already been my issue, and I'm not even married yet. So by me being so headstrong, y'all didn't hit it, did y'all?
What'd you say?
Headstrong.
Yes.
By me being so headstrong, that is something I desire to work on before. And if it is at all possible.
It is possible. It is possible. It might be
it
a
is.
It's,
it
but
is
it's possible.
Possible. Yes, it is. And you know what? I'm the head of my house, as we want to say, per se. But you know what? I say God is the head of my house. He provides me with whatever I do have. So with me turning over where I can allow him to be the head of my home would be easy for me. What I got to get out of is always having things like I'm so used to having, you know, the little bitty knick-knack thing. But as far as coming in wanting to be the head, you know, I say in a minute, I'm pleased for you to come in to help me pay these bills or you pay these bills. But I just keep myself humble because I know that God is truly the head of this house.
Right,
what I keep in me.
Right, and that's what I was going to say to answer your question going along with what Faye said. I would say, Mama Lane, first of all, you know, it is going to take prayer. But it really does go back to prayer because this is something that you're saying, look, I'm going to struggle with this. And so you give it to God. Study, you know, what I had to do. I really had to go to God and ask him to teach me how to be the wife that he had called me to be. And I began to study books, you know, go to marriage seminars when I could, attend a marriage. You know, they used to have those marriage classes at Destiny. I don't know if they still do. I would go to, you know, those small group classes. Then I would also, you know, I prayed and asked for God to send me people that were examples. And so as long as you are willing, that's the thing, as long as you are willing to allow your husband to come in and to take his proper role, if you're willing to do that, then God is definitely going to give you, you know, the ability to be able to do that. But sometimes we're not willing to release that control.
My issue is knowing how to release that control. I'm having the same issue with God right now and trusting him because I have been the one to do what needed to be done. I have been the head of my house. So it's been a struggle for me to let go and to learn how to trust him as well. And I figure when I get to the point where I can let go and learn how to trust him, then it'll be easier for me to allow my husband to take the reins.
And I think that's a continuous process with us, you know, learning how to completely turn things over to God. You know, there are some people that may have gotten there, but I think a lot of us, it's a continuous, you know, process where we're learning how to just completely release things. And so I'm sure you're not where you were 3 years ago, maybe not where, you know, he wants us to be, but, you know, probably I'm sure not where you were. So, you know, that is a process. But even when your husband comes in, it may be easier than what you think. It may be. But, you know, in order for the home to function as God has intended for it to function, we have to find the way to allow them. And I think it goes back, cause, you know, like you were saying, you don't know how. I think it just really does go back to releasing the control, allowing him when he comes in, if he makes a decision, as long as it's not nothing real crazy. You know, sometimes we do have to be the voice of reason sometimes. We have to be honest, about that. You know, we do. But allowing him to you know, make the decisions without having something to say. Allow, you know, just stepping back. And like I said, it may not be as hard as you think it is going to be when he gets there. I'm not saying it won't be a struggle, but it might not be the struggle that you think it's going to be. But again, I would, you know, say start now with praying and asking God to, you know, to help you to release that, you know, the control and to help you to understand, you know, your proper place in the home when your husband does come. Because we do have to understand our proper place. And a lot of us don't. And when I say that, you know, some people think of it in a negative way because some people say, woman, get in your place. No, not that way. We have an awesome place. We have a very powerful place.
I mean, I understand when you say know your place because he has placed him as the head of your household. And you have to understand that, like you said earlier, that you're under him.
Yep.
God is over. He's under God, and you're under him. So that's what I get when you say know your proper place.
Yep. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'd be like, ooh, it's some stuff that Ken is accountable for that I am not. You can have that. You know? Some things he got to answer. I'll have to. You know? But it's a wonderful thing when you do have a husband that is walking in his proper position, because
mm-hmm.
you do have a feeling of protection. You know, it's a place of safety. It's a place of comfort. You know, so that's a wonderful thing. But again, our place, we have a very, very, very powerful place in the home, in general, in the marriage, in the home. We're very powerful, very, very powerful.
Well, I would like to say something. Mama Lane, I heard you speak on the word trust. And when we think about that word and we dissect it and break it down, trust basically just means you having confidence and you being comforted by someone or something. A lot of people put trust in their car. A lot of people put trust in their bank account.
Yeah.
A lot of people put trust in, a lot of things, if you will. But you already have made the step. And one of the most important steps, and this is Kenny speaking. One of the most important steps.
Right.
No. I'm just saying, like, this is my opinion. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But like one of the key elements or the key ingredients to us learning to trust God is doing a self-examination of our lives and looking back from all the things he's brought us from and he's brought us through. And we know it when nobody but him. When we do that, that's when we learn to build our trust in him. And then even when it comes down to us putting our trust in man, right, we put our trust in our spouses when we see that they'll make a decision that works. Or we see that they can make a decision in their it's with a sound mind and a loving heart. And it's not, you know, leading with an iron fist or being over the top like I used to be. Once you open yourself up to trust somebody, it's because, okay, hey, I know what you do works, and I've seen you in action, and I trust that you have our best interests at heart. So once you see that with your husband, your spouse, or your mate, callers, that's when the confidence and the trust and knowing that that person is not going to let you down. Like I was mentioning earlier about that when women are out there looking for that man and he out there buying Jordans, that's a man you can't put your trust in right there, because he going to buy his Jordans before he buy anything else.
If he
buy
Jordans and not paying his bills, if his priorities, I don't know. If he just got it like that and he bought all the bills paid and, you know.
And everything else good, hey.
But if he, like he said earlier, if he ain't going to work, but he buying Jordans, yeah, that's fine. Unless he just don't build his business and, you know, doing some good legal stuff. But I completely, you know, agree with what Kenny said, and it is he's right, you know, putting your confidence. And so when he comes and he proves himself, as you know, like when you prove yourself, it is easy to do. Like, I know when Kenny gets paid on the 1st and the 15th, because he's proven himself, you know, the bills are going to get paid. We're not going to be homeless, because he's proven to be.
Or hungry.
Right, he's proven to be that. We're not hungry, we're not.
You know,
so he's proven that. He has proven that. So I'm not concerned about it at all. And even if things get a little short, he's going to find a way to, he's going to cut some hair. He's going to do something to do what he has to do to take care of his family.
Okay.
So it's easy for me to submit to him in that area. The only issue that we really had was parenting. And, you know, everybody knows that we talk about it all the time. So that was my struggle was, and I still struggle with it a little bit, and I'm not completely over it, but, you know, allowing him to just handle things, you know, with Jeremiah, because he was so, you know, hard and up top, and you know, but we've definitely just, you know, come a long way with that. But everything else, from what I remember, I don't really remember struggling like that after I learned what submission really meant. And that was what the key was for me. Because when I, like I said, when I first went into the marriage, I would tell him, I don't need you to take care of me. And that's because I was so strong-willed. And I'm still strong-willed, but just in a different way. You know, I had an issue. I don't have to submit to no man. I felt like that was taking something away from me. And I know there are other people that feel like that. I'm not saying you, but I know there are some other women that feel like that. You feel like it's taking something away from you. But it's not. You know, properly submitting to your husband the way God says it, because we actually submit to each other. It's not taking anything away. It's actually giving.
Amen. Amen. All right now, honey. You
amen.
Better watch out.
Amen. You like, said that.
Like, but you better watch out, too. But, yeah. Come on now. Come on, check. Check it out. What I want to say is, when we learn how to submit, call it submission, submission doesn't mean weakness. Submission is a sign of courage and a sign of wisdom. Because when we submit to the will of God, that's wisdom. When we submit to our husbands, our wives, you know what I'm saying? That's wisdom. Because, you know, hey, me and Deacon Page used to talk all the time, and he used to always coach me, teach me, and mentor me. Because, you know, I was just like, you know, I was out there with marriage sometimes. Sometimes I'd be like, man, I ain't trying to hear that. You know, she's saying such and such and such. And he'll sit me down and talk to me. So he gave me that wisdom. But once I sat down and I submitted myself to hearing what he had to say, that was me using wisdom. And I know good as day that happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's all right.
Have a lot of power, a whole lot. We do. Does anybody
else
have?
Go ahead. I thank you guys for the insight.
Well, thank you, Mama Elaine. We're so glad to have you on the line tonight.
Well, I'm glad to be there.
This has really been a great conversation. Does anybody else have anything else to say?
I was going to say something. You know, I was in the company of about 10 Muslim men. I had gone to a funeral. And actually, this funeral was something, it was just a unique funeral to me. But what I was going to say was the founder of the organization that I'm in had came over to where we were. And those men had asked me, would I join, if I married a Muslim, would I join the mosque? And I said, no. I said, no. You know, their temple, where they go to church at.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. And they asked me why. He said, you're not submitting to your husband. I say, no, that's not true. I say, I don't have to become a Muslim because my husband is one. I say, because that's something that I don't believe in. I say, whether he believe in it or not, I don't believe in it. They say, oh, you ain't going to make it. You just ain't going to make it. I say, well, you know what? I'm good because IB has helped me. And I say, I do realize that's giving something back, because I'm out there working, bringing my money into the house and taking care of everything. But there's a religion say, I mean, if you are a Muslim, and I know sometimes you can't hear who you fall in love with. You just in love. And whatever it leads to, my question is, should you become the same religion that that person is?
I'm going to let Pastor Page answer that. Go ahead, Pastor Page.
Okay, well, the Bible says that two can't walk together except they agree. And the Bible tells us not to be equally yoked. What my question to you would be this. Mm-hmm. Would you think the God that you serve would allow you to intertwine with a God that that is not considered a God?
Well, I was trying to be nice about the thing, just to call myself a help me. I did say no, because I never forget when I met Captain Dennis for my first time, knowing that he's a Muslim. But that never got in the way of our relationship, because we are out here fighting the same cause, and that's violence. You know, I told him, I said, now, I don't know what God, I said, I serve the God of the world. I don't know who you serve, Muhammad Ali or Allah, whoever he is. But I swear to God up above, and he just started laughing at me. He told himself I laughing at me. He said, my dear sister, he said, you one funny lady. He said, but you are a very truthful lady. But no, I don't believe in that, and no, I don't believe God would yoke me with that. I just don't believe that. But I was just trying to be nice about the situation. I didn't just want to come out and say, you know, I don't believe in your God. Well, actually, I don't.
Here's another way to look at it. If that be the man for you, just like God changed the heart of Pharaoh, he could change the heart of that Muslim. There's been many Muslims that have been converted. But before you marry, make sure the conversion is where it's supposed to be, and that's serving the one God Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. So it can happen. He could be an ex-Muslim, but no.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I knew I was right.
Absolutely right.
Oh. So this has really, really been a great, great show. It really has. I think we're gonna probably continue this topic on Tuesday. Does anybody else have anything to say? Go ahead.
Does somebody
say something? No.
I want to ask you guys to keep me in prayer on tomorrow. I have to speak at this memorial, and I will be over in the Unionville area. They gave me an example of what this environment was going to be like, and I pray that I touch someone's soul or someone's heart to just change their life and want to do the right thing. So please, y'all keep me in prayer on that tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. We will. And you will touch somebody's faith, even if it's just one or two. You know, continue to do what you're doing, because you are making a difference. You truly
Thank
are.
You.
And we need it. Our hometown needs it. We need it. We really do. But we thank you all for joining in with us on tonight. We really, really do appreciate everyone taking their time out. We appreciate all of, you know, the great comments, the questions. This was really, really, this was a great show. It truly was a great show. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to, like I say, continue this discussion on Tuesday, and we're leading right into our marriage series. So I'm looking forward to that. And we just want to say we love everybody. Mariah, you want to say hi? Say hey. Say hey. Now, she sound all sweet, but she be tripping. Okay, so we thank everybody. We hope you all have a great weekend, and we love you guys.
Love you.
Love you too.
Oh, I love mama. I know you did.